Would you please turn to Isaiah chapter 61? And I'll read the first paragraph. The middle paragraph I'll leave out, and we'll go to verse 10. So it is 61 verses 1 to 3, and then verses 10 and 11. And I have the New King James Version. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And verse 10, the servant continues to speak. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Perhaps that verse there could fit into the theme of our meeting this morning. The book of Isaiah contains a wonderful prophecy, and within that prophecy, which is mainly poetry, there are songs. And we see that when you turn to the second part, there are songs, and they're determined like that. And you see that the Lord God makes the statement, "Behold, my servant," coming in chapter 42. And then there is a description of the servant. Behold my servant, and he has been chosen, he has been anointed, he has been selected, and he has, the sovereign Lord God has put his spirit upon him. When you turn to Isaiah 53, you have another, behold my servant, and this time it is the suffering servant. And then when you turn to chapter 61, you see that the servant himself speaks. And when you study these songs, you've got to determine who is speaking and what he is speaking about. So you come to chapter 61, and the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to do certain things. And then there is this wonderful list of things that the servant is going to do. And on many occasions we think of the Lord Jesus coming into the world. We think that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then we can go on and we see that we have a great high priest who is enthroned in the heavens at the mercy seat, who is able to succour us, who is faithful and merciful, and who is able to help us in our daily lives. But this passage is a wonderful opening to me of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do. And perhaps if there was more of an emphasis on these things this morning, we would probably do away with a lot of counselling. And I feel that we need to get back to the reading the scriptures and applying to the scriptures to our daily lives. Recently I was with a lady who was passing away. The family were there, and then afterwards they went through her Bible and found all the verses that were underlined. And what a wonderful selection of verses they were. This lady had a very, very difficult life and many trials and tribulations to deal with, and yet we found that the verses of scripture that she had underlined were almost a personal relationship with the Lord, that the Lord was right there beside her, helping her every step of the way. And so I believe that we need to get the passages of scripture and have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus in all the aspects of our lives. For our salvation is salvation from the penalty of sin. It is a salvation from the power of sin. And one day it will be a salvation from the very presence of sin. But while we are here, we have to battle with our human body. We have to battle with circumstances around about us. And we have to battle with things on which we have no control. And when we go through this list, we see that the Lord Jesus is able to do some very wonderful things for us and help us in our lives. Now, it is possible to go through all of these. It would take a long time, so I'm just going to select a few. And we'll start with the to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, that to the poor or to the meek is very relevant when you're in Papua New Guinea or in India. And then you come to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And this is very relevant for me today because of another situation. But you notice there that there is captives and prisoners. And we see that the captives and prisoners are two different kinds of people. A captive is a person who has been captured by the enemy, taken away from his own environment, his own family, relations and nation, and he's been taken to a foreign country, and there he is, has no rights, he has no liberty, he has no freedom, and he is very restricted in all the things that he can do. And what he needs is a liberty or a freedom. But he needs a person to come and to capture him and take him back to his own country. He needs a conqueror, a mighty king, who is all-powerful and is able to bring him back to his rightful place and to the enjoyment of all the things that he needs. And that is the liberty, taking away all the restrictions of his captivity into a life of freedom. But then we have the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now, a prisoner is a person who has done wrong, has been caught, he's been charged, he's been judged, and a sentence has been passed, and he is incarcerated for his misdeeds. And so he has a different situation altogether. He wants the prison doors open so that he can get out, and he needs to have his past put behind him so that it doesn't catch up with him, and that he is into a new situation. And so a prisoner is a person who needs the past put behind him and a new life. And these are two things that the Lord Jesus is able to do. He is able to bring liberty to the captives. He's able to bring them back into a right relationship. And he also is able to release the prisoners. Now, I'm going to give you a thing that happened. There are some of these illustrations that I can tell you. But one of them that just happened a couple of weeks ago in a prison, the chaplain was there. There were a group of prisoners all standing around and doing what they do. And there was a chap who had a guitar. And he was rap singing. I don't know whether you're familiar with that. It's just a new expression that's coming. But the chap has his guitar and he strums it with chords. And he has a story to tell, and so he just sings the story. And this chap was singing a story, and the prisoners, they were carrying on and doing all their things. And so the chaplain brought the Bible to him and turned to Psalm 51. Now, the Lord just led him to that psalm. And so he said, "Sing this for me." And so the chap started to sing this psalm, and the prisoner started to listen, and as he got right through the psalm, there were tears in his eyes, and he came over to the chaplain and said that he had never had an experience within his heart of forgiveness and of love, and that somebody is there to help him. "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and cleanse a new heart," and all of these wonderful passages. He just sang it, and all the prisoners that were there came around and listened to it. And so the chaplain was able to tell the prisoners exactly what this whole thing meant. And that young man, he was only a young chap in for a while, and he had that wonderful experience within his own heart of the Lord coming in and releasing him from the burden of sin that he had. And he was very, very happy I should say the joy of the Lord filled his heart, but he was a very, very happy person, and he was able to tell people, this is what happened in my life. But there was another chap there, and he was converted, and he was told about baptism, and he decided that he would want to be baptized. And so they made arrangements for this, and the time came, and he said, look, I want my parents to be here. Now, that is a no-no within the system, and so it took a lot of negotiating and diplomacy on the part of the chaplain to allow the parents to arrive and to come into the prison and to be at the baptism, which was in the swimming pool. And so the morning came and the parents came and everything was set up and the senior chaplain performed the ceremony. It was in the winter time, it was cold, and so he was told, don't get into the pool and then decide that you're going to give an exposition of baptism, otherwise you'll be frozen. So they said, no. And so the baptism was held and the parents were there. And the chaplain saw that the lady, she had a tear in her eye. And so he went over and spoke to her, and she said that they had been praying for this moment for a long, long time. They had seen their teenage son go off the rails and do all kinds of things. But they said, we continued to pray. And now this is a wonderful experience for our son and for us, that he has obeyed the Lord in the waters of baptism. And so we see that there are these wonderful things that happen. Another prisoner, you know that Noel Sheen has a new newsletter out telling us all the things that he's involved in. It's wonderful what is going on in the prisons this morning. And if you listen to the radio this morning, there was a segment there. I picked it up very, very quickly. That they were saying that religion in the prisons is a thing that is helping the prisoners and the whole system. And they said, we're not going to knock the people turning to religion. Said some of them might use it for another reason, but it is a wonderful experience for many of the prisoners today to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is a wonderful... a work going on amongst the prisoners. And this is the verse. To proclaim liberty to the captives, those who are caught in the clutches of sin, and what is going on in our world today, to bring them liberty. And to those who are incarcerated because of their own misdemeanors, or those who are caught up with the knowledge of sin within their own hearts and within their own lives, and the freedom that our Lord Jesus Christ is able to give, and to close the door behind them. But there was one prisoner, and he was converted, and he knew what it was to have the Lord Jesus forgive his sin. He came up for parole, and so he had to go before people, and he told them that the Lord Jesus had forgiven him all his sin, and that he was now free from that burden of sin. And so these people who have got no knowledge of what's going on in Christianity, they gave him 4 extra years that he had to be in prison because they said he's in denial, that he doesn't agree that he has committed an offence. And so they gave him 4 more years in prison. And his attitude was, well, that's where the Lord wants me, because I'll be able to witness to him of what has happened in my life right within the system that is there. And so that is, just leave that with you this morning, a wonderful thing that is going on within our system by all of these dedicated people, men and women who are serving the Lord in the prison thing. We can pray for them. But there is that verse, and we would like to see that happening in other places around about us. When you come down to verse 3, the verses, divisions in this is not very good, but verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion. And you remember that Jerusalem had been burnt with fire and destroyed and the people taken away, all the people, only the poor people left, and it was a very desolate place to be. And so the Lord says that he would give console those who mourn in Zion. And there are three things that he's going to do. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. To give them beauty for ashes is the first one. And so we see that there is a change here from the Spirit of the Lord God upon me because he hath anointed me to do certain things. But now we see that he is going to give an exchange. And we see that he is going to take away one thing and give them another thing. And so he takes away the ashes and he gives them the oil, the beauty for ashes. Now, we don't get the full meaning of this from the English here, but the ashes are something that are of no value. You know, in the old days when we had wood stoves, one of my jobs on Saturday morning was to clean the stove out and take all the ashes out. Then I had to blacken the whole thing and everything, and for 4 hours' work I got sixpence. And to see that the ashes have done their job, that's what they were for, and now there was no further use for them, so they were taken out and scattered on the paddock. And there's no profit or anything, they're useless, no value for anything. And we see that some people's lives come to a situation where they feel that they have no value, that they're worthless, and there's no profit in life. And we see that they've got this very negative, self-abasing attitude. And we see that the Lord Jesus says, well, look, instead of that attitude of worthlessness, that we see that he can give them beauty. Now, this beauty, when we think of beauty, we think of something which is pleasant to look at. But we see that the word, if we could say, put it from ashes which are worthless to something which is of great value. And so this beauty is, in the Hebrew word, a turban or a head covering or a head, something that goes on the head. And when you think of something that goes on the head, it is telling us who the person is, for one thing, and then what his status is in life. And so the king has a crown, and other people have different things. And you'll notice in the religious world there are mitres and all of these kind of things that the people have on their heads that are telling them who they are and their status in life. And so the meaning here is, or my interpretation of it rather, is that here is something which is useless ashes, and here is something that is going to explain who they are, their status in life, and what they are worth. And so when the Lord says here that he will give them beauty for ashes, he is saying that he is going to give to them a status in life, and we recognise that one of the greatest things that a person can be is to be a child of God. What a wonderful status that is for us. There were a group of village people in an assembly in India. This is one of the times that I was back there. And they were poor. They lived in thatched roofed huts and all of this kind of thing. They couldn't get ahead. They depended on daily wages and all of these kind of things. And they decided that there must be something better than this. They prayed to the Lord, what can we do? And so the Lord told them to pack their things and they walked 200 miles down near Madras. I'm going to condense this, not tell you all the details. And they walked this 200 miles down to Madras. And they came to an easement on the side of the road. There was a big engineering college up on the side of the hill there. And the other side of the road, there was an industrial estate. And then there was, in India which goes an industrial estate, a section where the people lived. It's better to have the people near the employment so that they don't have to go by bus and all these other kind of things. But that's the situation. Where you've got 27,000 people in HAL, the Hindustan Aircraft Factory, employed in one factory. So they came down to this easement. They set up their huts and they started to live there. And they went up to the engineering college and asked if there was any employment. And the registrar said, no, there's nothing here. We've got all the work that we need and everything else and everything else. And then one morning, the registrar came down and said, can you come up and the cleaners had gone on strike. And so they had to clean the college, and there was nobody to do it. So they came down and asked these men, "Can you come and clean the college?" And so they said, "Yes, we're ready." And they went and cleaned the college. It had never been so spick and span. And the registrar said, "Can you come back tomorrow?" "Yes, we can come back." So they were eventually employed as cleaners. But here was a group of people that had no status in their own environment, in their own village. And they came down and they had their employment, and they were living very well. That's half the story. The other half is that there was a man who had a big business. He had about 30 cars and ran a taxi service between the airport and the Madras city in contract work, ferrying people. And he was a wonderful brother, and I was there when his wife passed away after a long illness. And then when I went back the next 2 years later, he had remarried a lady who was the daughter of an evangelist from Kerala. And one Sunday afternoon, they decided they would like to go and see where they could do some service for the Lord where there was no evangelical witness. And they drove along the road, and then they came to this group of people sitting on the side of the road in huts, and they thought, "That's just like our villages where we came from." And so they stopped and they went over and asked the people, and they spoke the same language, which in a city of Madras of 11 million people is. But the Lord had led these people, Emmanuel and his wife, to come to that very one spot. And with all of the expertise that he had in business and in dealing with government departments and all of these kind of things, he was able to help these people. And eventually some of them got jobs in the industrial estate, and then they got housing in the housing commission. And you can see how the Lord brought these people from a situation where they were despised, rejected by the people, and thought nothing of. They were non-entities. And how the Lord has taken them out of that. He has given them the beauty for ashes. And that is what the Lord Jesus can do in our hearts and in our minds today. And I would like to see that there is this message going out to all the people that this is what the Lord Jesus can do. But you've got to make the contact with the Lord Jesus. It's no good just going to services and all this kind of thing, as it happens so much today. So we have the beauty for ashes. Then the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And that heaviness, the oil of joyful mourning, I'm going to leave out. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And if you turn back to chapter 42, which is another Behold My Servant thing, the Lord in verse 3, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench." And you can take those as a picture of the spiritual things that the Lord Jesus is going to do. He's not going to break off because a reed is bent. He's not going to break it off and throw it away. He will not do that. And a light, a candle, which is burning dimly, he's not going to put it out and say they're of no use. We see that the Lord Jesus is able to restore those to their former usefulness and glory. And so the garment of praise is the outer garment. And you remember that when the Lord Jesus was on the sea and Peter and the disciples in the boat, Peter was had on his working clothes, we'll put it that way. And then when he got on the boat, he got his cloak and he wrapped it around him. And it's a cloak that covers the whole of the body. We don't often see the hood part of it, but it covers the whole of the body. And this garment of praise is to cover the whole of the body, the whole of life, with praise. And I looked up some of the verses with praise in it. Sometimes it's praise, sometimes it's bless. But you can see the wonderful things that we can praise the Lord for, and instead of having a negative attitude to so many things, that we can have a garment of praise that covers the whole of the body and all of our thinking and all of our actions, all of our communications can be with that praise. And we see that the first thing is praise is to God because of who he is. Praise is to God because of what he has done. And praise is to God because of what he has done in our own hearts and in our own lives. And when we think of the garment of praise, when we go down to verse 10, the servant says that he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Now, I've heard many people say that that is the Christian is covered with the garments of salvation. But here it is the Lord Jesus who has been covered with the garments of salvation. And when you see the person and the garment, you recognize immediately this is the Saviour. And we can go through all the verses of Scripture that tell us about the Lord Jesus as the Saviour. But we see that it goes from there, not only with covered him with the garments of salvation, he has covered him with a robe of righteousness, and then as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, here we have the bridegroom prepared for his marriage. And I can take you through the book of Revelation and show you how all of that is prefigured in the book of Revelation when the Lord Jesus will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I'll just leave that with you this morning, some of these things that we have of the Lord Jesus, the servant, and what he is able to do. And as we translate that into our daily lives, what a joy it will be to be a member of the Lord Jesus and to have him as our personal Saviour.